Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, the book of 1 Corinthians, which Lord willing we'll get to, actually gives a restriction on the number of preachers. It says two or three. So right here, we're at the max this morning. All right? But I trust the Lord has blessed you to hear the past two messages, and I trust that this will tie into what Brother Tyler said about the record that God has given us. First of all, isn't it amazing that God has given us that record? It's true in heaven, but he communicates it to us?
Amen.
I mean, that's amazing grace. Yes. Not just that he would redeem us, that he would share that record with us. Do you ever struggle with that record? That is true? Do you know that's why John's writing 1 John?
Yep.
Just continue one verse from where Tyler was in verse 13. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. He's writing to who? He's writing to believers, right? They already believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do believers need help believing?
Amen.
I do. I need to be reassured that I have eternal life. I need to be reminded of the record. I need to be told it again, because sometimes as I walk through my life, it just becomes too good to be true that the Lord would redeem me. But it's true. And we need to be reminded of that record. You know, it's interesting that in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, passage we all love, that he basically says, if it were not so, I would have told you.
Yeah.
If this weren't the record, if this wasn't the truth that I'm going to the cross to redeem you, then I wouldn't have told you that. This morning, just for a few moments, let's remind ourselves of the record even more. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul communicates a record that the church knew, but yet the church wasn't living by. And you know, that's a challenge in our life, to be reminded of the gospel, but then also to be reminded, as we heard from Brother Joe, that we need to take up our cross and follow after Christ, that it's given to us not just to hear and to rejoice in, but to literally order our steps through this life by. Mm-hmm. And he says in 15, you all know this passage, you love this passage, I trust. Paul speaks to the church at Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand. He's speaking to believers who believe the gospel, and yet he's going to remind them of what the gospel is. He says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. We'll come back to that verse. Let's continue down to see what is it that he preached unto them. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that you also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Do you see how what Brother Tyler was teaching us from 1 John is so important? Because if Jesus wasn't really a man, then he really didn't die, and folks were yet in our sins. There wasn't a sacrifice made for our sins. But the record is quite simple. It's quite profound. It's quite wonderful. But it's the fact that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, on the good news that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I love that phrase, according to the scriptures. How about you? Because we still have the scriptures. When Paul wrote that phrase, he was referring to the Old Testament. Folks, we don't have time this morning, even if I had the full hour, to go to all the passages that confirm the reality of Christ's life, the reality of his death, and the reality of his resurrection, prophesied of old. One of the strongest proofs that we can cling to, according to the truths of our faith, is the fact that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies completely about the coming Messiah, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Do you believe that this morning? You see, our faith isn't just a leap of faith, as they would say it, but there is actual proof that we can lean upon. And Paul's building this case here that this record was clearly communicated to God's people in the first century in such a way that it's in harmony with Old Testament scripture, but then he's going to list out all of these witnesses that corroborate and confirm that Jesus Christ fulfilled these scriptures given in the Old Testament. Go to Acts chapter 2 and read Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost as he walks through Old Testament scriptures. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, as he walks through Old Testament scriptures about how Jesus died and was buried and rose again on that third day. And that this is a record that God has communicated and that God has established to be true in the New Testament church, particularly as they started in this first century. And the church at Corinth had a whole bunch of problems. Well, so what? So do I. But one thing that they lost sight of, that I need to not lose sight of, that we need to not lose sight of, is the reality of Christ's resurrection. Do you lose sight of that? That Jesus died and was buried, but that he rose again? You know, it's interesting. One of the first things he talks about is, well, there was some preacher worship in the church, right? I'm of this preacher and I'm of that preacher. So I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And I love how he concludes in that chapter where he says, but of God are you in Christ Jesus. Guess what? Paul didn't get you in Christ Jesus. Peter didn't get you in Christ Jesus. It's all the work of God. That we've come this morning to lift up and exalt one name and one alone. Do you see how the resurrection just kind of clears out that issue? Because Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in his kingdom today. Isn't that amazing? Let's set the record straight. He's the one that we've come to worship, and he's the one that we have come to adore this morning. And of course, there's other issues that you can look through in the eye of the resurrection, but take that same principle and apply it to the spiritual gifts that are within the church. And it boils down to that it's of what edifies the body of Christ. What is helpful to the body of Christ and how we exercise our gifts, not about getting attention for our gift. Do you realize that's not the point of your gift? The point of your gift is that others might forget about you and might think upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is ruling and that he is reigning. And so in this passage, he says we need to keep this in memory, and that it will have a saving effect in our lives. I love that thought of if we lose our life, we save it. But if we try to save our life, we end up losing it. And how true it is. But if we keep the reality of who Christ is and his resurrection, it has a saving effect in our life. Just as believers need to believe, saved people need to be saved. We may not have the same challenges that the church at Corinth had, but we have our challenges in our generation that we need to be saved from, that we need to be guarded against, and keeping the reality of Christ's resurrection and his place in his kingdom is so helpful. Let's consider just for a few moments, you all, I've heard this said that old Baptists have the best attention span out of anybody, and I believe it to be pretty true. I mean, I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but we listen to a lot of good preaching, right? We do. I want to value your attention and your time. But consider what he says, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you. That really means more than just to remember the sermon. It means to hold fast to those principles in your life. We hear the principles, we believe the principles. Paul is saying, if you take it and you live the principles in your life, if you keep it as your guiding principle. I liken it very much to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul tells the younger minister to hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, of faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. To hold that fast. Then he says, keep that in memory which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, vanity is actually, I think, a secondary theme through the chapter of the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. What's the primary theme? The resurrection of Christ. Which one wins? The resurrection of Christ or the vanity of this world? The resurrection of Christ enables us to overcome the vanity of this world. This is the first time that this comes up, and he says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen of Cephas. I apologize. Go back to verse 3 with me. I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Y'all, verse 2. What I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. How do believers believe in vain? I think you can go and go to James chapter 2 and receive a very detailed version from James of how we can believe in vain. In fact, that word vanity even pops up in that passage. But you'll recognize James chapter 2 as we look at verse 14. He brings up this question, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Can faith save him? If a brother be naked and destitute of food, one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, if faith hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Listen to the record. Thou believest there is one God. Do you believe that record this morning? We believe that record. Then he says, the devils also believe and tremble. They say, they acknowledge that the verity of that record, right? The record is true. We realize that belief isn't just meant to get us to acknowledge the true record. Belief is meant to propel us in God's service, to propel us in taking up our cross and following after him. He says, the devils believe and also tremble. In verse 20, he says what? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. You see, if all of our faith is just to say, well, that's true that Jesus came, he lived, he died for my sins, he rose again, I acknowledge that, we've missed the point and we've missed the purpose. He's revealed the record for a purpose, to propel us forward out of love in his service. You know, it's interesting. I hadn't considered this. You talk about the 2x4s. I hadn't considered verse 10 before. Verse 10 is talking about the Apostle Paul's personal experience in being propelled by belief. He says in verse 9, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not even meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Do you ever feel like you're not meet to be part of God's church? You don't deserve to be part of God's kingdom. I'll raise my hand on that one. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. It's such a privilege to just be here. And he says, I don't even deserve this, but he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The grace of God, which was with me. You know, you can almost read that and say, well, is the Apostle Paul bragging? I don't think he's bragging. I think he's making this point. And I'll just close with this thought this morning. The Lord's way works. The Lord's way works. Paul realized he was a sinner. He didn't deserve to follow the Lord, but he did it. And he believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only that Jesus died for his sins, but that Jesus rose again because he had put away our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he realized that it's not by his strength that he serves the Lord, but it's by the strength of the living Savior. And he says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I. It's not me. But it's the grace of God which was with me. Folks, on this path of discipleship, don't for a second think you can do it in and of your own strength. Don't rely on your ability. Rely on the living Christ. Do you realize that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? That it's God who gives you his strength to walk this way? And in doing so, he realizes that it's not of himself, but it's the grace of God within me. Therefore, whether I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. And he says, guess what? If you believed that Jesus has died for you, realize this principle, this life-giving principle, is at work in your life. This witness, as Tyler described, that witnesses the same truth, is at work in your life. And be propelled in his service. Just so you can see the theme and maybe pick away at it on your own time, he closes chapter 15 with this, and this applies to us all. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.